Good afternoon and welcome to The Outspoken Cyclist, your weekly radio connection to bicycles and cycling, as well as fitness and other related topics. The Outspoken Cyclist is a radio show produced by cyclists for cyclists. And now here's your host, the Outspoken Cyclist herself, Diane Lees.
Hello and welcome to The Outspoken Cyclist. I'm your host, Diane Lees, along with Greg Priddy.
Hey, Diane, what's new?
Oh, same old, same old.
Really?
Busy.
Yeah.
Very
good.
Busy.
Good.
How's your training?
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
I don't know. I never know until we get there. I'll tell you in a couple of weeks.
Well,
how's
your new ride?
Well, the new ride's great, obviously.
Okay, good.
You know, the bike will not be holding me back.
Yeah, I see. It's going to be the rider.
It's always the rider.
Yeah, I guess. Well, you know, mechanicals.
True. But generally the rider.
Yes. Anyway, let's talk about this week's show.
Okay.
Okay, fine. It's got some fun, and then it has some fun. Mm-hmm. A little more fun. So the first fun thing is a book by Stephen Ray. He's a movie writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer. He's a blogger and a cyclist. And his book is Hollywood Rides a Bike, Cycling with the Stars. It is so cool. It's a fun book. So I grew up with a mom who was enamored of the movies. And if you ever had a question about who was in a movie, who directed a movie, who was singing something in a movie, you could call my mom and she would say, it was so-and-so and it was this year. She was like, you know, the encyclopedia of movie people. Well, anyway, Stephen Ray knows who in Hollywood rode a bike all the way back to the 1920s. Hollywood studios put their stars and starlets on bikes for publicity. A lot. I mean, this book has 125 pages of awesome photographs. Stephen searched and researched archives to find all these wonderful photos. Most of them are in black and white, but some are actually in color. Everybody from Humphrey Bogart and Gary Cooper to Brigitte Bardot and Donna Reed. So we're going to talk with Stephen Ray from Philadelphia. He's also going to be on his way somewhere, so we're not going to have a whole lot of time with him because he's going to talk about bikes and movies tonight. Then we're going to head on to Wisconsin to the headquarters of Kimberly-Clark.
Okay.
Okay. You're saying Kimberly-Clark. What does that have to do with bicycling? Well, we're going to talk with Kimberly-Clark's bicycle ambassador, Rob Guskey. Rob will also be joined on the phone by Amanda White. She's the associate director of the Wisconsin Bicycle Federation. You see it's starting to come together here. Rob and Amanda are going to be telling us about the 2012 National Bike Challenge and how you can participate. So it's free, it's easy, and it's open to everyone. And I think having a big hitter like Kimberly-Clark offering an event like this is a testament to how far cycling has come in recent years. So then I think we're actually going to have time for news tonight.
All right.
Really, and I even have a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you who listen on your trainer, and I know who you are, keep pedaling. Everyone else, pull up an adult beverage and enjoy this week's edition of The Outspoken Cyclist. I'm going to welcome Stephen Ray, author of Hollywood Rides a Bike, Cycling with the Stars, to the show. Stephen, thanks for joining us tonight.
It's a pleasure to be on the phone with you.
I don't remember exactly how I came across your book, but it was such a great topic. I needed to contact you, and the book is actually fabulous. I love it.
Oh, well, thanks so much. And it's been a thrill to see the way people respond to it.
Well, I wish my mom was still alive because she was the lady who grew up in the 20s and 30s and 40s, and she used to sing all of the show tunes. And if you needed to ask a question about somebody in the movies, she knew all the answers.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So she would have loved this book. So can you tell us a little bit about your background in bicycling before you actually decided to write this book?
Sure. Well, I'm definitely a cycle nut. I've been riding most of my life. I grew up in New York, in Manhattan, and learned to ride when I was a kid. And, with intervals here and there where I was living in places where it just wasn't feasible to ride a lot, I've been riding ever since. I ride to work every day. I'm a movie critic at the Philadelphia Inquirer, and I ride around the city on my bike to screenings, to work, to interviews.
What kind of bike are you riding?
My everyday bike is a Raleigh DL1. It's a 20-inch rod brake bike. It's sometimes called the postman's bike.
Nice.
It's a real heavy duty, sturdy, reliable machine.
You probably know the Belinkis, huh?
Oh yeah, the Belinkis are great.
They make
incredibly beautiful bikes.
Yes, they do actually.
Mm-hmm.
What gave you the impetus to put this book, Hollywood Rides a Bike, Cycling with the Stars, together?
Well, as I said, I'm a movie critic, and so movies are a passion of mine. And as I've just said, too, bicycles are a passion of mine. And over the years, I've been collecting here and there a few photos of movie stars on bikes, vintage stars on vintage bikes. And about a year and a half ago, it was Thanksgiving Day 2010, I decided to share the photos I had, and I started a Tumblr blog called Rides a Bike, and posted the photos. And by the end of a few photos, and by the end of that first holiday weekend, the response was really amazing. I had almost 2,000 Facebook likes and emails from people all around the world, and people were sending photos that they had and suggestions of other photos. So I thought, whoa, this is pretty amazing, and I decided to take it a little more seriously and started to collect the photos with more intent and focus, and now it's become a real obsession.
So the photos that you uploaded and then people saw, were they more of the bikes or more of the people on the bikes, or was it just a combination of both?
It's a combination of both. I mean, in some of the photos, it's the bike is featured more prominently than in others. Some of the photos, there are candid shots on the back lot of stars between scenes of whatever movie they were making,
right,
just going from the cafeteria to the soundstage. Some are scenes from actual movies where the bicycle was used. So it's a combination. I mean, there are certainly photos that I love because of the bicycles that are featured in them, and other photos I love because of the actor or actress that's on the bike.
Well, I know that a lot of the photos had sort of studio captions, so they were made for promotion of one sort or another. Why do you think the bicycle was such a good vehicle for promoting stars in their movies in those days?
Well, I think it shows them. I mean, it's an excuse to have a sort of a cheesecake shot or a beefcake shot of a young ingenue or a young leading actor on a bike, sort of showing off their physique and their form. And that was part of it. I think also in the 1930s and 40s, people were using bikes still, all over the world, it was a popular machine. It was still a vehicle that many people used to get around. And so these images just sort of reflected that. It's sort of like, Us Weekly has that feature, stars, they're just like us.
Right.
And it's sort of if you go back 70, 80, 90 years, it's sort of that mindset, that thing, And the studio publicists were pretty smart. They put their stars in all sorts of, machines, vehicles, settings, and the bicycle was certainly one of the more prominent ones. And then during the war years, there was an effort to get people not to use their cars, to save on gasoline, to save on the tires that were used. And so more people went back to the bike.
Now, of course, things have changed so much today. When I think back to what it was like when I was a kid and people were promoting movies, you saw posters a lot. You would go to the movie and see the sort of trailers. Well, in those days, it was the previews of the movies that are coming up. But today, everything's changed. Do you think the bicycle will again ever be used in that way, so that it, I mean, it's becoming prominent in ads.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it is. I mean, I think, this summer, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is starring in a movie where he plays a bike messenger. It's a thriller. It's not like Quicksilver, the Kevin Bacon 80s movie where
right.
he plays a bike messenger. But, and you see, there was in the Oscar issue of Vanity Fair earlier this year, I think it was the February issue, there was a photograph of Seth Rogen and Judd Apatow and a couple of other guys on bikes. And just the other day, I came across a photo of Zooey Deschanel on a bike. And I think, you see a lot of the contemporary stars, the younger stars, riding pictures of them riding bikes. And I think that's reflective of the resurgence popularity of the bicycle.
Well, I hope so.
Uh-huh,
we're
too.
In the bike business here, We like that. So do you have any good stories about some of the photos that you have and have gotten and how you got them, some, cool stories?
Let's see. There's a photo of – I have a story of Bing Crosby and Anne Blythe riding bikes on the back lot of Paramount. And when the book came out just a few weeks ago, I was in L.A. and I was doing appearances in bookshops and bike shops. And the studio store on the Paramount lot invited me to come and sign copies of the book. And while I was sitting there, the studio store is sort of in this central place of the Paramount Studios lot next to the coffee place and the cafeteria. And this very sort of dapper elderly gentleman walked by, and it turns out that he was A.C. Lyle, who's the oldest living Paramount employee. He started when he was a kid in the mailroom and then became a producer and produced a lot of Westerns for Paramount.
Wow.
Produced Rawhide, the show that Clint Eastwood started his career in. And he was looking through the book, and he came across that photo of Bing Crosby and Anne Blythe and told me this story about how Bing Crosby would ride around the Paramount lot in costume, out of costume. Every day he would see him. And so A.C. Lyle, who was much younger than this, was in the 40s, was also riding his bike, and as Bing Crosby rode his bike, he was whistling, and they turned a corner, and somehow A.C. Lyle crashed into Bing Crosby, and the two of them tumbled onto the ground, and Bing Crosby got up and picked up his bike and said, "What was it, the tune I was whistling or the way I was whistling it?" So that was great, this just kind of corny, charming Hollywood story that I was able to, you know, hear firsthand.
That's pretty cool. How old was Lyle at that point?
Well, let's see. He started in the 20s, and he was in his teens, so he would have been in his 30s, I would imagine, yeah.
No, but I mean when you met him.
Oh, when I talked to him. He's in his 90s now.
Wow.
He's, you know, incredibly lucid and still everyone stops to say hello to him. But he's up there in his years.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, really cool. Well, I really enjoy several of the photographs. So there are like, what, 125, 100, and there are a whole bunch of pages in this book.
Yeah, there are 125 photos,
right.
Most black and white, some of them in color.
One of my favorites is the six-day bike rider with Joe E. Brown.
Mine too.
Yeah, I'll bet it is, because it's actually a movie about six-day racing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think track racing's coming back?
Well, they just announced the New York City Parks Department just announced that they're going to build a new velodrome in Brooklyn.
I know. That's part of our news tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. They got a very generous gift. I think it's awesome.
Me too. And I think that's indicative of the fact that track cycling is coming back. And, you know, you see a lot of cyclists on fixed gear bikes, you know, which don't really belong in the streets. But, you know, it's sort of... you know, representative of sort of a resurgence of interest in that aspect of the sport.
One of the photographs that you acknowledge at the end of your book, when you're actually acknowledging people,
mm-hmm.
was a photograph of Alfred Hitchcock, which I really enjoyed also. And somebody talked you into leaving the ship mast in his head.
Right.
It's really, really an interesting photo. How did you get all the information on these bikes that are in these photos? Because the bikes themselves, I mean, obviously the stars were star enough that you could mm-hmm. find out about them, but mm-hmm. some of these bikes were pretty obscure.
They are. There's a bike shop in Philadelphia called Via Bicycle that sells vintage bicycles and antique bicycles, and the Curtis Anthony, who's the proprietor of Via Bicycle, and Joel Flood, who works there, are both, they're sort of like, if you had a vintage bike that you wanted to take on antique roadshow, these are the guys that would be there telling you the back, you know, the provenance of the bike.
Cool.
And so we sat down with a lot of these images over a course of a few days, and they went over them either on a computer screen or with a magnifying glass through my portfolios, and were able to identify an amazing number of bikes. That picture of Hitchcock, you can actually see the head badge, and it says Helium. And so I discovered what the Helium bike was myself. It was sort of a low-end brand that Peugeot made in the 60s and 70s. That photo was a real hunt for me to track down. I knew it existed. It wasn't in my collection, and I really wanted to have it for the book, and found a photo agency in Hungary that had it, but they weren't allowed to license it beyond Eastern Europe, and they told me that Agence France-Presse had it. And I contacted them, and they told me that Agence France-Presse is now administered by Getty Images in the States. So it was several days on the phone and via email, I was able to license that photo.
So let me take a moment to remind our listeners, we're speaking with Stephen Ray. He's in Philadelphia, and he wrote this outstanding book, Hollywood Rides a Bike, Cycling with the Stars. The whole thing is so interesting to me. There's everything from people riding on, like, tightrope kind of stuff to you know, Brigitte Bardot and Joan Crawford and Esther Williams and Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. If you like the movies, this is definitely the book for you. So tell me about your blog, because I think your daughter helped you get this blog going, Tumblr.
Well, I'm just sort of a techno dunce, and Tumblr is pretty easy to manage and create a blog on. But I did need some help early on, and my daughter was happy to give me a hand. And it's just it's a great platform for sharing, you know, all sorts of things. But in my case, I'm sharing these photos I've been collecting.
And you're still adding photos too?
As I said, it's become a real obsession. And there are 125 images in the book, but there are now, I think I have over 400 photos. I know I have over 400 photos in my collection.
So are you working on any other cycling-related projects?
I might be doing an app that's connected to the book. I have a friend who designs apps, and they're beautiful, and we're talking about that, but it's not official yet.
That sounds like a cool idea,
actually. Yeah, I think it would be a lot of fun.
So if somebody actually has a photograph of somebody from Hollywood or, you know, like that, with a bicycle like that, are you still interested in them?
Oh, definitely.
And how would they get in touch with you?
Well, on the Ride the Bike Tumblr site, there's a link to the book site, which is hollywoodridesabike.com, and there's an email address there.
Okay, and how can people get a copy of the book?
You can go into your local bookstore and ask for it. If they don't have it, they can order it. It's okay. Also available on Amazon. Turner Classic Movies online shop just started stocking it, which is I'm really excited about that. And Barnes & Noble, it's in, all the places it should be.
Yeah, well, if only we had independent bookstores left here.
I know, it's kind of sad.
It is.
There's also some bike shops, here and there that are selling it too. Public Bikes in San Francisco, Trophy Bikes in Philadelphia.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And it's published by Angel City Press.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well,
I should say you can also get it directly from Angel City Press, angelcitypress.com.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Well, they were kind enough to send me a press copy, and I'll tell you what, it's just awesome. I love it. I will cherish it. Again, it brings back fond memories of my mom and everything she knew. Actually, she knew more than Hollywood, I think, sometimes. Well, I wish you a lot of luck. I take it you're off to talk about your book tonight.
I am. There's an event called Secret Cinema where they show vintage films and shorts, and they have a bicycle-themed program tonight, and I'm just going to show some slides from the book before the movie starts.
Well, that's very cool. Well, Stephen, thank you so much for being with us on The Outspoken Cyclist. I really enjoy talking with you.
Oh, well, thanks so much, Diane. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Stephen Ray joined us from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where he's the movie critic for the Philadelphia Inquirer.
I think that's pretty cool.
And incorporating cycling and movies together in this new book and the Tumblr blog.
Isn't it nice?
Yeah. I was browsing the Tumblr blog while you were chatting with him.
Yeah.
If you're of a certain age or if you're just interested in a certain age, there's so many interesting memories.
Well, one of the things I really like about the book is the way he's got it sort of indexed in the back.
Right.
He's got it indexed by stars, and then he has it indexed by bike.
Neat.
So you can kind of back into it either way. And there's bikes called Ace and Automoto and Fidus or Fetus, Elgin, which I know, Gormulli and Jeffrey, just bikes, some I've never, ever heard of.
That is a ton of painstaking research to compile all of that, because I look at those and they just look like old bikes to me.
Well, and what's also interesting is he comments on all of the photographs,
okay.
But he also, in many cases, when it was with the photograph, reproduces what the studio had to say about the photograph.
Oh, okay.
So, about the stars and what they were doing and kind of their little stick on that photograph. So it's a very nice book. If you love movies and you love bicycles, it's really a good one to have. And it's hardbound. I always like that.
Yeah.
And I like pictures.
So as promised, let's see what's in the cycling news this week.
Okay.
We've got a few minutes here.
We do indeed. I think track racing is coming back.
I heard about the big gift.
Oh, my goodness. So a cyclist and the grandson of New York City philanthropists has committed $40 million to build a field house featuring an indoor bicycle track in the Brooklyn Bridge Park. This comes from the New York Times. But it also comes from there's the Chronicle of Philanthropy. The gift is from Joshua P. Recknitz. It's the largest ever to a city park. He's already retained an architect to design the, get ready for this, 115,000 square foot velodrome, which will feature a banked oval track for cycling races, up to 2,500 seats, and facilities for basketball, tennis, and other sports.
Hmm.
Mr. Regnitz, who is described by a spokeswoman as, quote, a very private person who keeps a low profile, is the grandson of the late Robert and Harriet Heilbrunn, who made large donations to Central Park, Metropolitan Museum of Art, and other city institutions. So, you know, philanthropy runs in families, I think. The donor declined to be interviewed, but the spokeswoman also said that he had researched possible sites for a cycling track in New York and New Jersey for 3 years before approaching the Brooklyn Bridge Park officials in 2011. And the talks quickly broadened into plans for a multi-use facility. And part of that was because Brooklyn Bridge Park just didn't see how a single-purpose facility was going to work. And actually, you're going to have to pay to use the facility because that's just the way the park system's set up in New York. But you know what? I bet it's not a lot of money, and it'll help with really good upkeep. Because you remember talking with John Campo about all the problems with Cascina, the outdoor velodrome.
Right.
So this is going to be really, really cool. So, ready?
Yes.
Hell hath finally frozen over, or maybe not. The AAA stepped up with what might be just one of the best endorsements for cycling in a long time. Did you read about this?
I saw the headline. Yeah, that was very surprising to see that.
Yes, it was. So Paul Gaffney, who is the president of the AAA, said, "What if bicycling became as mainstream as driving?"
Talk about a 180.
Yeah, exactly. It's in the latest issue of Via magazine. Anyway, he's the president and CEO of the Northern California, Nevada, and Utah AAA, and he dedicates his entire column this month to cycling promotion and share the road safety. I just think it's awesome. His quote is, "While I do work for an auto club, I still ride a bike. I'm happy to report that I'm not alone. Cycling is on the rise in most parts of the country. People ride for fun, for exercise, and increasingly just to get from here to there." According to a Rutgers University study, the number of bike commuters in the United States grew 64% over the past two decades. Those are his words. So he goes on to applaud the growth in bicycling in major cities like New York and San Francisco, encourages folks to get out and ride, whether it's pedaling to work or enjoying one of the region's many bike trails. And at the very end, he poses a particularly exciting question, and that is, what if bicycling becomes as mainstream as driving? And I like that.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, May is National Bike Month. He's right on purpose with that. All right. So chalk that one up to us. Remember our friend Doug Bonick?
Oh, yeah, Doug.
So the last 2 years, he's done insane Alaskan rides by himself. Now, remember, Doug has had Parkinson's for 10 years. Well, after two solo Alaska adventures, he's accepted an offer from none other than Davis Finney to come ride the Rockies. So he's going to help raise funds for the Parkinson's Foundation, and he and I have had a brief exchange. Davis is about ready to be scheduled to come on the air and talk about the foundation and to talk about Parkinson's. He's had Parkinson's for many, many years, and the foundation is doing some great work. And I'm really excited that he invited our buddy Doug.
Yeah.
So we'll probably end up getting Doug back on, and he'll tell us about this crazy adventure because it seems like it's going to be nuts.
Yeah, I think this is a step in the right direction for Doug because last time he was in, he was contemplating riding through Death Valley.
Oh, that's so I forgot about that.
I think riding the Rockies on a supported tour will be a good thing.
Yes, I agree. This comes from Bike Radar about a story in Massachusetts. Cyclists in Somerville, Mass. Are facing a new city directive to actively enforce traffic laws as they pertain to cyclists.
Okay.
About time. Well, whatever. Earlier this month, on April 11th, Somerville Police Chief Thomas Pasquarello announced that Somerville Police Department's plans for increased enforcement of bicycle traffic regulations under Massachusetts General Law Chapter 85 would now be enforced. Cyclists now can and will be ticketed for violating traffic rules, and offenders may be required to state their true name and address to a police officer. What, are they lying to him? That's hilarious. This really isn't news, said David Watson, who's the executive director of Mass Bike. This is not the first community in Massachusetts to enforce traffic laws or for bicyclists. This has been the law for a long time in the state. So we'll see how well that goes there.
Hey, as long as we're enforcing all road users equally.
I agree. What's good for one is good for the other.
The best response to a motorist who asks a cyclist, when are you going to start obeying traffic laws, is when are you going to start?
That's a good answer.
You know?
Right. How about you don't pay taxes. That one always bugs me.
That too.
Yeah. This is my last entry, and it's not a nice one. This happened right here in Ohio. In Belleville, Ohio, a 53-year-old man died Wednesday from injuries received in a bicycle crash Tuesday evening on the Richland B&O Trail. Giuseppe Mino, a contractor at the 179th Airlift Wing of the Ohio National Guard Base, died at 1:10 a.m., Richland County Coroner's Investigator Bob Ball said. Belleville Police Officer Bert Skeen said police responded to the bike trail shortly after 7 p.m. Tuesday, about 200 yards west of the bridge where Ogle and East Streets meet. Mino of Turin, Italy, was taken to Mansfield Hospital by Jefferson Township Fire Department rescue personnel. He underwent emergency surgery, but he did die. He was riding with a group of cyclists associated with the Why Not Cycling and Fitness in Lexington, Ohio. He was to the rear of the group, and only one gentleman was beside him. The other bicyclist was approaching the posts on the bike path, which prevent cars from entering the trail or a park entrance. And he went ahead to make sure Giuseppe could pass either on the left or right of the center pole. Mr. Mino impacted the pole, Skeen said. These three posts were not at an intersection with any road, the police officer said. Mm. It was definitely a freak accident. And the article goes on to say how most of these posts that usually you would expect to see when you just enter or exit
right,
a trail,
right.
not in the middle of a trail, mm-hmm. have been removed. But these three weren't. But guess what? I'll bet they will be.
I should hope so, because all the ones that I've encountered around here, like you said, are at intersections or at trailheads.
Right.
They're designed to keep motor vehicles from driving onto the trail.
Right.
And, you know, even at there where I'm going at low speed, kind of crossing a
street. Yeah, you have to
finagle
around them.
I'm a little bit
tentative.
Yeah, I am.
Me too.
A friend of mine who cycles here in the area caught a brake lever on one. And, you know, so it was just...
It was that tall. They're that tall. I have to guess. I have to think
about
it.
Yeah, and of course, so it, you know, turned the wheel,
right,
threw him off.
Went.
You know, he came out of it, you know, not with minor injuries, some soft tissue stuff. It took him a while to come back. But, you know, you got to be respectful of them. And there's no reason to have them at any other point.
Well, when we ride the Maple Highlands Trail, you know, we have to kind of snake through them, crossing some of the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't like
in the middle
them.
Of the trail.
Hmm?
Not in the middle.
No. They're right at the intersections.
Midpoint. Yeah, I don't see
but
the reason.
But still,
for...
yeah, it's just really freaky. They have them in Kidron, too, you know, on that trail in the Oberlin area. Well,
very sad for Mr. Mino and for his family.
For his family,
yeah. They've got to come from Italy, I guess.
Most of them.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. So, unfortunately, we can end on one good note. They actually are breaking ground May 2nd for our velodrome.
Oh, nice.
Yes, in Cleveland. Yay.
Start so turning dirt.
Started with a track story, ended with a track story this evening.
Okay.
Yeah.
On that note, we're going to take a break.
Good idea.
And when we come back, we've got a conversation with some folks up in Wisconsin.
We do, and we hope that you'll stay tuned and listen.
Right after this on The Outspoken Cyclist.
You're listening to the station that is your home for college radio in Cleveland, 88.7 FM, WJCU, University Heights.
On Saturday, May 19th, you can enjoy Pop-Up Pearl, a true street fair in Cleveland's historic Old Brooklyn neighborhood. Hosted by the Old Brooklyn Community Development Corporation, Pop-Up Pearl features live entertainment, local arts, crafts, food, and activities running from noon to dusk on Pearl Road near the Broadview Road intersection. More information at 216-459-1000 or go to popuppearl.com.
I'm Greg Pretty.
And I'm Diane Lees.
We are back on The Outspoken Cyclist. Time to head up north and west of here a little bit.
So we are about to welcome Rob Guskey, who is in Neenah, Wisconsin, and works for Kimberly Clark, and Amanda White, who's in Madison, Wisconsin, and is the Associate Director of the Wisconsin Bicycle Federation. Rob and Amanda, thank you for joining us this evening.
It's great to be here.
Wonderful to be here.
Good. Amanda, I guess we've met before.
Yes, it's great to hear your voice again.
Good. Well, we were across from one another at the Heartland Velo Show last year. Let's go forward with introductions first. Rob, tell us about you, and you are the bicycle ambassador at Kimberly-Clark.
Yes. Yeah, that's a fun title to have, and I can give you a quick history of how that came about. Yeah, I grew up in the Philadelphia area and did some biking back at that time. One memorable thing was a ride down to the Jersey Shore. Some friends and I did while we were in high school. But like a lot of people, you know, I got went to school, went to college, and kind of moved away from cycling. And back in June of 2008, our country was experiencing some record gas prices. I live now in Appleton, Wisconsin. And a few of the people that I work with, we started just tracking our bicycle trips on a whiteboard and just trying to save some money. So that was fun. And what I did then is worked with some of our other employees. So I went on to our website, our internal website, and found out there was actually an organized program over in the UK as well as in Korea, and they were already doing bike commuting.
And this is with Kimberly-Clark?
With Kimberly-Clark, yes.
What were you doing for them before you became the ambassador?
Yes, well, I was and still am an engineer, and that's most of my work.
Okay. So
day-to-day, I'm working on improving our products and making them better for our customers.
Okay.
Once we found these other cyclists, just got together with them and informally started a little challenge. And we were using a bunch of engineers here got together. We put together a little Excel spreadsheet, and away we went. What we found was that this really caught on with people, just to bring people together as a community and start challenging each other.
Interesting.
So what happened is one of the people that was doing this with us happened to work on our Scott brand. And he was very interested in this program. And he said, hey, we would like to sponsor you and help you make a little more of this program. So with that, we were able to go to a real website instead of using the Excel spreadsheet and got some internal publicity. And we were able to invite all of our 50,000 employees to participate in this program.
Okay, so this is worldwide?
Worldwide within Kimberly-Clark at this time.
Okay, so how many people signed up for your little bike challenge, internal bike challenge?
Yeah, so it grew each year. Last year, we had over 800 employees register and did just over 350,000 miles with Kimberly-Clark.
That's a pretty big number. So let me ask Amanda. Amanda, give us a little bit about your background with the Wisconsin Bike Federation, and then we're going to talk about the challenge and how both of you are involved in what it is and how it's going to impact cycling.
Sure. Well, I've been working for the Wisconsin Bike Fed for just about 3 years. I'm the associate director there. I manage our Madison-based office. We also have an office in Milwaukee where our executive director is based out of. And Rob, we have a number of programs from Bike to Work Week to Safe Routes to School to legislative policy work that we do. And one thing that we've always felt was kind of missing was a way to begin to have a encouragement program that tracks bicycling miles. We tried to do this a bit through our Bike to Work Week activities, but it was never hugely successful. I think the year before we started the challenge in 2010, we did a really simple challenge in Madison and Milwaukee through Bike to Work Week, and I think we logged a total of like 100,000 miles.
Wow, in 1 month?
In one week, actually.
Oh, my goodness. That's a huge number of miles. How many people participated in that?
I think it was 2,000, if I recall correctly, or maybe 1,000.
So Wisconsin has a huge number of cyclists that the Federation sort of covers.
We do. We're a statewide bike advocacy group. We have about 3,500 members now, but certainly there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people who love to bike in Wisconsin. So we have a huge potential for getting many, many more people involved in the work we do. And we see the bike challenge as a way to really reach more of those people beyond our base who just love to bike in Wisconsin.
So let me ask Rob real quick, how and why did Kimberly Clark decide to open the bike challenge and turn it into a national sort of competition event?
Yeah, well, based on the success internally, and we were seeing a lot of benefits for our employees. And we thought, you know, this is a great program that we can take out to basically our customers and also the communities that we work in and live in. We just think it's a great way to help, you know, Americans or people that participate in the challenge improve their overall wellness. And another you know, obvious thing is we're helping to reduce the amount of vehicle trips, so that will help us with air quality and overall just, it's just a good thing. So
explain the nuts and bolts of the bike challenge. What is it? And just explain how, you know, it has so many opportunities for people to get involved. Let's just talk about the basic challenge itself and what was opened. And it starts May 1st. So this is very timely. It's, you know, anybody who's listening can jump into this evidently right on time.
Yeah, the great thing about it is we've really tried to make it very simple and easy for people to participate.
Okay.
The best thing about it is it's free for everybody. So there's no cost involved. There's a very high-quality website that's involved, and basically it involves tracking your miles. You can do that two ways. So the company that we work with is called Endomondo. And they provide a free app that you can use, and you can very easily log your miles with the app if you have a smartphone or a Garmin device. If you don't, it's still no problem. It's very easy to go in, and there's into the website, and you can log your miles each day that you ride.
So that's an individual. Now, you also are offering it up to teams and companies and organizations. You know, there are a lot of ways that you can sort of interact with this website. Kind of explain how maybe somebody would put a team together or how you'd get an organization involved.
Sure. So, Diane, the first thing, as we talked about, it's on an individual basis. So you go ahead and you sign up for the website or for the program. When you're doing that, it asks you where you work, or you know, what college or university you attend if you're a student. And you can put in the name of your company. What we do is we try to reach out to companies beforehand and have them register their organization so that when you're entering that data, when the employee's entering the name of the company, it's already there. So after they type in three letters, the name of their company will come up. They can select it.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So it's very simple that way. Once you do that, all of your employees will be listed under that particular workplace. You can go into the website. So first of all, you can see how your company ranks against other companies, and we can do that by size as well as the type of organization you're at. The other part of it are teams. So we have another aspect of it. Teams are composed of up to 10 people. And the great part about that is if you want to have a family team, say mom and dad and the kids, you can do that. And if you have a brother that lives in California and you're on the East Coast, you all can get together and have a family team if you want to do it that way.
So let me take one moment to remind our listeners that we're speaking with Rob Guskey, who's in Neenah, Wisconsin, and Amanda White, who is in Madison, right? Is that where you are, Amanda?
Yep.
Yeah. Amanda's with the Wisconsin Bicycle Federation. Rob is with Kimberly Clark. He's the bicycling ambassador. So, Amanda, how is the Wisconsin Bike Federation involved with the challenge specifically?
Sure. Well, we're fortunate to have Rob and Kimberly Clark here in Wisconsin in Neenah. And so after they'd experienced a number of years of success doing that internal challenge that Rob described, Rob approached the Bike Fed and asked us if we'd be interested in working with him to bring that foundation of the challenge that he started within Kimberly Clark to a statewide level so that we could get lots of companies across the state involved. And so last year, we held the first Wisconsin Bike Challenge, true statewide challenge, in partnership with Kimberly Clark and Endomondo. And we were kind of the guinea pigs, if you will. And it was hugely successful.
How many people?
Yeah, we had over 4,500 people participate in the challenge across the state. And they logged 1.2 million bicycle miles.
Holy smokes!
Yeah, it was really exciting. Rob and I, kind of our pie-in-the-sky goal was a million miles, and we didn't have too hard a time achieving that. So it was very exciting. It was about a four-and-a-half-month challenge last year.
Okay, so this year it's going May, June, July, and August. Rob, what are the rules of the challenge? Obviously, there are some rules. And then I want to talk about who else are participating. You've got some great people who are sort of getting behind this challenge.
Yeah, the rules themselves are pretty pretty simple.
So you can't. What about cheat? Never mind. We won't talk about people cheating.
Well, it's interesting. We really people have.
There's
been
a lot of policing.
Yeah.
How would you police such a thing?
Yeah. Well, people are watching this, and if things maybe are a little unusual. One neat thing about this is you have a discussion board, so people are able to interact with each other.
And interesting.
Generally very positive, but they can ask, for example, today, one guy had a 6,000-mile ride, and I asked him. I just sent him a very cordial email and say, wow, that was quite a ride you had. And he said, oh, I had a glitch when I was uploading my data. And he went and corrected it right away. It was a 20-mile ride.
Oh, there's a little difference.
So very rarely I've seen that, but you know, people will it's been a good bunch of folks here.
So who's actually underwriting this whole, besides, I know Kimberly Clark is not the only organization that is underwriting this challenge. Who else is involved with you?
Well, in terms of actually providing the funding for this program, it is entirely coming from Kimberly Clark.
Oh, it is? Wow.
Yes. Generous. However, we can talk a little bit about all of our partners in the program.
Sure, let's.
Okay. So we have the League of American Bicyclists, Bikes Belong, and Endomondo.
Okay.
Along with Kimberly Clark. Each partner is bringing really an area of expertise. And, for example, the League has a large base of individual members. They have their Bicycle Friendly America program, which reaches out to bicycle-friendly universities, bicycle-friendly communities, bicycle-friendly companies, bicycle-friendly states.
Right.
So they can pretty easily communicate this and share it with those folks. Bikes Belong, similarly, you know, has a number of contacts within the industry.
Right.
And they are managing the prize program. So we have a very nice prize program that Bikes Belong has put together from donations from a number of other companies.
So we'll talk about how people can get prizes in a second. And then Endomondo.
Yes, and Endomondo they really bring the experience that they have. So they have over 7.5 million users around the world. I think I had mentioned they're based in another cycling epicenter, Copenhagen, Denmark.
Yeah.
And they really understand, and they're all about getting people excited about exercise, just making it fun and a way to really engage folks. So that's the expertise that they bring.
So the National Bike Challenge is for U.S. citizens, the one that we're talking about tonight.
Yeah, so what it is, it's for anybody that lives in the U.S. It's also for companies that have operations in the U.S. but may have global employees.
Okay.
For example, Kimberly-Clark, we're based in the U.S., but we have operations around the world. So all of our employees around the world are able to participate as well.
So, Amanda, what do you think your goals for this year's National Challenge are?
Our goal is 6,000 participants and 2 million miles.
And that's the Wisconsin participation?
That's correct. Yep.
Okay. And then, Rob, what do you want for the overall goal for this year for the entire challenge?
So what we'd like to see is 50,000 people around the country get together and ride 10 million miles.
What a great goal. Now, are kids allowed to participate, too? Are children allowed to participate?
Yeah, this is open to all ages. And as we talked about, we really would like to see something for families and students to be able to participate.
So talk a little bit about the prize part of this, that there are actually prizes that are going to be available to people who participate in the National Challenge.
Yeah, Diane, there's a very interesting prize program. Let me tell you a little bit about what we're trying to do with the prizes. And we work with what we call challenge points. So first of all, the whole program is about encouraging people to bike more. And also, people that maybe haven't biked since they were kids, bring them back in. The way we try to do that is we really encourage daily biking or daily cycling. So every day that you get on your bike, you get 20 points.
Regardless of how far you go.
Exactly. So
awesome.
If you go two blocks down the street to the store to pick up some milk or whatever the situation is, 20 points.
Awesome.
Then, in addition to that, we also want to challenge people that are out there doing lots of miles. For each mile, you get an additional point.
Okay.
Okay. Then we've got different levels. So we've got a bronze, a silver, a gold, and a platinum level. To get to the first level, bronze level, takes 50 points. That means in 3 days, you're there. So what we want to do is motivate people to get involved in the program. It's very easy to get to where you can win some prizes.
And so if you get to that bronze level, what happens with the points program? How does that work?
So what happens is when you're on the site, on the screen, you actually have these four medals, and they're not illuminated yet, but you can see the shadow of them. Once you get to 50 points, your first medal lights up.
That's really clever. I love it. It's an instant motivator to get them all to light up.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. So then it gets a little tougher. So now first you got the 50 points, you're feeling good. Now you got to go to 150 points to get to the silver, 500 for the gold, and 1,500 for the platinum.
Okay.
Let me tell you about the platinum. So through different prize donations and sponsors there, we've been able to secure a trip through Trek Travel in the California wine country. So it's a bicycle bike trip there. There's also another platinum level prize, which is in Utah. It's a mountain biking trip. So there's some pretty nice prizes there.
So are you looking for other people to get involved in the platform itself? Are you looking for other people, other companies, other than Kimberly-Clark? Or do you want to?
Oh, yeah.
You are.
Yeah.
You're looking to expand this.
What we would like to do is really engage as many people, as many companies as we can. For example, what Kimberly-Clark has done is we've put a challenge out there to other you know, Fortune 500 companies, other large organizations. We're going to donate 10 cents a mile that each mile that our employees do in the challenge in 2012.
And what will happen with that 10 cents a mile?
So all of that money is going to go to help make America better for biking by a donation to the League of American Bicyclists.
Yes! That's very, very cool. You're going to have a lot of very interesting data at the end of this challenge this year. Do you see, and then not for Kimberly Clark's use necessarily, but do you see a way of using this data to talk to legislators and say, look, this is what we've accomplished in 2012. You need to think about cycling going forward in government.
We were so fortunate to be able to do the challenge last year, and we have talked up our data big time. First with business leaders and communities when we're talking about how popular bicycling is in Wisconsin, when we are talking about why bicycling is important to our economy and our way of life in Wisconsin, we now have data that we can show and say, look at just in the first year, we had 1 million miles logged and 4,000 people participating. For our 2012 Wisconsin Bike Summit, where we met with our state legislators back in February, we definitely highlighted this data and got a lot of actually surprised state reps to hear that so easily such a huge number of bicycle miles and bicycle enthusiasts were involved. And so I think it changes the conversation when you bring data into a conversation because you have some hard numbers to back up the concepts, the values that you're talking about. And so I think that's one of the greatest opportunities that we have with a bike challenge is use of that data to really further our bicycling advocacy work.
So do you see those numbers, that data, eventually translating into dollars for cycling-related programs and projects?
Yeah, and I would say one thing that we're really working on in Wisconsin is state-dedicated funding for bicycling, for more paths, more bicycling infrastructure. And so as we're talking to our state representatives, to our governor, to the head of the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, these numbers give our message more credibility and I think will turn into dollars from the state. And certainly from the bike fed perspective, you know, like I said earlier, we're reaching beyond our 3,500 members. We're reaching out to businesses. We're reaching out into businesses to employees. So we're reaching this next level of people who love to bike but may have never even heard of the bike fed. And so it's a huge opportunity to bring people into our community and not only for dollars down the road, but for that support and for that action that we can then motivate them to help us with our cause.
So, Rob, can you now tell our listeners how they can get involved in the challenge, give them the website again, give them the information, and remind them of the start and end dates?
Yes, it's very easy. So if you go to www.nationalbikechallenge.org, and that will take you to where you can very easily register and get started on the program. The program does start, kick off officially on May 1st, and it will run 4 months through the end of August.
And when will the drawing for these two nice trips be?
Yeah, so the we actually have a monthly prize drawing for the bronze, silver, and gold levels.
Oh,
and then
okay.
At the end of the challenge is when we'll be drawing for the platinum level prizes.
You know, I heard all about this at the Bike Summit, and I think it was the CEO of Kimberly Clark who actually introduced it at our luncheon.
Yes, it was our senior VP for sustainability.
Okay, and it was a really interesting concept, and I'm really glad that you and I got a chance to explore it. And Amanda, I'm hoping other state representatives around the country, places like Cleveland Bikes, Bike Pittsburgh, and Consider Biking in Columbus and all over the country, who can sort of, you know, glom onto this and really start building those miles. I like the idea of using this data. So I really...
And one thing I'd like to add,
sure,
to really compliment what you're talking about, we have over 40 local or state bicycling advocacy organizations that are participating, and they have their own local sites for, so in the Cleveland area, it's Cleveland Bikes.
And in Columbus, it's Consider Biking.
Exactly.
I do know that. That's great.
And one other thing, Diane, that I don't think got mentioned that's really important.
Yes.
This is a program for anyone who loves to bike. So you can count your mountain biking miles, your recreational biking miles, your commuting miles, your transportation miles. It's for everybody who loves to be on a bike.
I think that's awesome. And nothing brings everybody together like a good bike ride.
Exactly.
Well, Amanda and Rob, thank you so much for joining me and telling us about the National Bike Challenge. I have to take my little earphones off to Kimberly Clark. What a great idea. And I hope other companies sort of jump into the fray. We'll talk to you again soon.
Oh, thanks, Diane. It's been fun.
Thank you, Diane.
All right. Bye-bye, Rob. Bye, Amanda. Have a great night.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Rob Guskey and Amanda White joined us from Nina and Madison, Wisconsin, respectively.
Yes.
And they are instrumental in putting on the National Bike Challenge.
Are you going to sign up?
Of course.
Oh,
of course.
Good.
I was checking out the site while you were interviewing.
Of
and,
course you were.
The Cleveland Elyria Mentor already has a community on the site. There's about 246 people from this area signed up.
Awesome.
There are some names that you and I would know on that list.
Well, we'll keep that to ourselves for now.
And just over 10,000 people total signed up so far.
They are going to break their goal. I mean,
I think so.
Come on, it hasn't even started yet.
Yeah, so.
But it starts this coming week.
I will, I'll put the word out on Eric's list as well to make sure that even if they're not listening to this, that they're aware, because there's some high mile people on
No kidding.
in that group.
The Calvin's group.
Easy to get right up there, and they're running for some very nice prizes.
Well, and we can put it on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea, and it will serve, like you said, the data that it's going to collect from this will really help, the political power in the process.
Well, you know what else is interesting, and it didn't occur to me till just now, and that is if you sign up, you're going to ride.
Yeah, of course.
Because if you sign up and then you don't accumulate any miles, you're going to feel like an idiot when you see all those miles around you.
Yeah. And I think it's great that you get points just for being on the bike every day.
Because, I agree.
You know, that's the key, is if you can be on.
It's a big attaboy.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Just to ride as often as possible.
Yep.
Nothing more to add to that.
Nope.
Except
time to go.
Time to get out of here.
All right.
And we'll see you back here next week for another edition of The Outspoken Cyclist.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us today on The Outspoken Cyclist with Diane Lees. We'll be back next Saturday evening from 5:30 to 6:30 here on WJCU 88.7 FM and streaming live on the internet at WJCU.org. Don't forget, this show is available as a downloadable podcast also at WJCU.org, and we're on Facebook at The Outspoken Cyclist. Thanks again for listening, ride safely, and we'll see you next week.